Our God is love. The phrase that jumped out to me in that little video is, this is crazy love. Because I just think about myself and all too many times that God gives me opportunity to not deserve his love, or if put it another way, so many reasons that I've given God to not love me, whether it's just in my thoughts or my actions. And even though I'm a pastor, I'm a human being, and I don't always please God with what I have to say or do or what my heart thinks. And honestly, today's message was one I needed to reflect on and put it, my prayer to put better into practice of what a disciple of Jesus looks like when he loves. Not that I hope I haven't been mean to anybody, but just recognizing that this topic is one that I need God's strength with, and I know that each one of us needs help and encouragement to love, because you can probably think of reasons that make it hard to love someone. Maybe you have your top five, or maybe there's someone in your life right now that you're struggling. Excuse me. That you're struggling to love for one reason or another. And I wonder if when we struggle to love, it's a result of what I might call is an empty love tank. That I'm just kind of tired of loving. I don't have anything else to give. And it's time for someone else to love me back and in some way fill my tank. Because it's hard to give out what we don't have. You know, it's interesting how many things in life have a little gauge that tell us how full it is. Right? If you're planning to grill this afternoon, you may have something on your grill, like usually it's weight sensitive, that tells you how much propane is left in your tank, right? And if it's getting next to that empty mark, it may call into question, am I going to have enough propane to cook the food that I want to grill? Or you check your phone, right? This morning you probably unplugged it from your charger because you wanted to start the day 100% full of battery life, and you know that as you use your phone, that little marker gets 82%, 53%, and if you're talking to someone and your phone is at like 2%, you're like, I don't have my charger right now, and if we get cut off, don't take it personally because my phone is just about ready to die because the power inside has been used up. The fuel on your gas tank, maybe on your way in to church this morning, you looked at your gas tank and you're like, oh, I better fill up on my way home because your tank is almost empty. Those gauges are great because they tell you what's going on inside, right? You don't have to open up the gas tank and go, oh, it's almost empty. You have a little gauge that tells you. You don't have to open up the propane tank and go, oh, it's almost empty. You don't have to open up your phone and go, how do I measure if a battery is full or not? It gives you a little gauge, right? So wouldn't it be great if on our foreheads or somewhere you had this little gauge of a love tank meter that you could determine, is this person operating from a full love tank meter, or are they about empty or dry as a bone? So maybe let's pretend, you don't have to put it up on your shirt or your forehead, but if I were to ask you this morning where your love tank is, and before I define that much, just say if, however you want to define that, 0 being completely empty, 10 being completely full, what number would you give yourself? You don't have to tell me, but just have that in your mind. Because the ability to love one another, to love others, if my number is probably drifting south of 5, like between 0 and 5, I'm going to probably struggle to show love to people that I care about or don't care about. If it's north of 5, it might be a little bit easier this week to do that. However you want to define that, and for Christy, my wife and I, we talk about this love tank, and admittedly, there are things that fill our relational love tank. Maybe some of you have heard of the book, it's called The 5 Love Languages, and there's 5 things that speak to our hearts and our relationship, and sometimes we receive love and speak love differently, but the 5 are sometimes gifts speak our love language and say someone thought of me. Sometimes doing something, acts of service, show that we love someone or we feel loved when that happens. When we spend quality time, we're just hanging out, we're not looking at our phone, watching a movie, just hanging out and being together, that speaks, fills our love tank. Physical touch, when we're just kind of snuggling, cuddling with a person we care about and you have that physical connection. And another one is words of affirmation, when we feel built up and people appreciate who we are and what we've done. And those things fill our emotional, our relational love tank. It's a great topic for marriage and even working with your kids, et cetera. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. But just to illustrate, there are things that fill or empty our love tank. What about our spiritual love tank? So let me ask you that question again. Spiritually this morning, are you feeling completely empty or completely full or somewhere in between? What number would you give yourself this morning? And here's, I don't know if this is true for you or not, but if you woke up this morning and go, wow, it's Sunday, I can't wait to get to church, be around a community of believers and hear God's word, then I'm guessing maybe your tank is like 6 or above. If this morning it's like, it's Sunday, you know, I don't really want to go to church, but I got to do it for my kids or my spouse, whatever, then maybe your love tank is a little bit south of 5. It's hard to love, isn't it? It's hard to have that. We'd all love to have like a 10 all the time, whether it's relationally, spiritually. And I pray that God can pour into your heart this morning to move that needle closer to a 10. But let's understand what love is and what's going to fill that love tank. And to do that, I'd like to, again, sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him a few key things. And these, I'm just going to fire a few passages at you. We're going to hit the highlights, and then the last part of the message, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 3, and what does that mean for us? So remember, if we're one of Jesus' disciples, let's just pretend we're sitting at Jesus' feet for those 3 years that he was walked and talked on this earth in his public ministry. What are we going to learn about love? 3 things. If you have your message notes, you can follow along. If you're blank filler inners or just commit it to memory, take out your device. I don't mind if you take notes on your iPhone, Galaxy, whatever device you have. What did Jesus teach us about love? The first thing that he taught us is that the love of God comes first. And here's a few passages that he taught us. The first from Matthew 22. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, everything I am. God is first. And Jesus helps us understand, well, what does that look like when God is first? Here's 2 things. The next passage says, no one can serve 2 masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. Jesus is saying, you can't look at the things of this world and let your heart become attached to them and let that be a first priority, and then also say, I love God as a first priority. When push comes to shove, if those material things are getting in the way of my relationship to God, God says, let them go. You can't let the love of stuff crowd out or overshadow or trump over your love for God. And one more aspect, what does the love of God look like? Another passage, Matthew 10:37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I pray none of you ever have to make this decision in life. But what Jesus is saying, the disciples say, what do you mean, Jesus, about loving God? He says, don't put any material things first. Don't let your heart become attached to this world because that's going to go away. I want your heart to be attached to me. And he says, the relationships that are important in your life, your family, can become very attached to your heart. And like I said, I pray none of you ever have to make this decision to let go of a family member rather than let go of God. But he says, if that comes to be, let your heart detach from the family member and stay attached to me. You mean even more than my spouse? He goes, yep, your mother or father, I love them dearly. My kids, brothers, sisters, if they're going to get in the way of your relationship with your heavenly Father, he says, it's okay. Don't let them get in the way. That doesn't mean you have to be unloving, etc. Don't take it to that extreme. I can still interact with them, he said, but don't let anything, material, relational, get in your way of loving God first with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. So that's the first thing Jesus sat and taught throughout his ministry. Love God first. And he says the second thing is very similar, but secondary. Love others, even your enemies. Jesus says, love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. 2 of the greatest commandments, Jesus summarized, love God, love your neighbor. And remember the disciples asked, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus taught that, maybe you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, where the two Jewish individuals passed by, the guy was beaten up, and then a Samaritan helped the Jewish, and they were cultural enemies. And Jesus taught, anybody who has a need is your neighbor. You go, okay. But then he refines it with his next passage. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You got to be kidding me, right? Those that persecute me, those that are my enemies, you want me to love them too? Yes. So Jesus helped his disciples. Remember Peter said, if my brother sins against me 7 times, do I have to forgive him 7 times? And Jesus says, 70 times 7, kind of an infinite amount. Right? These little snippets that Jesus taught his disciples, love God, love others. And then one more thing he talked about and taught his disciples about love, that love takes action, like Jesus did. So much throughout Jesus' ministry, we see him put love into action, both for his disciples and for others and for his heavenly Father. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. They go, oh, what a nice world I made, and I'll just leave him alone. He goes, no, he acted. He loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God acted on his desire to serve people. He loved the world that he gave. Another one, another passage, John chapter 13. Let me set this up before I read it. John 13 starts a section in the Gospel of John that talks about Jesus' final hours on this earth, final days. It picks up in the upper room on Maundy Thursday, the day before Jesus went to the cross. And this whole section starts with this verse, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So Jesus didn't say, I love you, disciples, I care about you, but now he takes action. The very next account, he takes off his outer garment, washes his disciples' feet, then he gives them the Lord's Supper, and then he encourages them to love one another. Then he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays to his heavenly Father, betrayed by Judas, taken into custody, mock trial, but condemned by Pontius Pilate and the people around him, went to the cross, crucified, dead, and buried, the full extent of his love. And now Jesus says, as I have taken action to love you, I want you to take action and love others. John 13, just a few verses afterwards, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We spent some time in Bible study, which I always encourage you, come an hour early and be part of our Bible study between services and dig into a portion of God's Word. We always are just covering the topic of the day and digging into it a little deeper, and we dug into this passage, and Jesus says, a new command I give you. And we looked at, he wants you to love God, love your neighbor. And he turns to his disciples, that very close-knit group, and he says, I want you to love each other within the context of this community of disciples, in the context of the community of the church of believers. I want you to show the love I've shown to you to others. All right, love God above all else, love others, even your enemies, and love takes action. So those are three key things that I took from Jesus' teaching, and you can read through the Gospels and I'm sure glean many more subpoints what love looks like. So now Jesus taught his disciples this, and he says, I want you to make disciples that do the same, that love others. What does that look like? How do I have the ability to love others? I want to look at Ephesians chapter 3. And then I want to use an illustration to teach the second part of the message today. So the Apostle Paul writes this to a group of Christians in the city of Ephesus, and this is his prayer for them. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I have to be careful because there's a speaker here, but this is our little baptismal font. So if it gets wet, it's okay. It's happened before. How do we love like God, like Jesus encourages us? This passage tells us That in order to love as Jesus wants us to love, we have to be filled with Jesus' love. So let this big picture of water that in God's realm is limitless, but I only can hold up so much, and the pitcher can only hold so much. But love starts when I'm filled with the love of Jesus. So let this cup represent each one of us. Okay, we're here this morning. God's word of truth, his love, the gospel. Like I said, I pray that your love tank of Jesus' love is a little bit more full when you leave today than when you came. Because you've been reminded of God's love and his grace and forgiveness and that you're one of his children. He went to the cross, died for you, rose again for you, all that great stuff that's at the heart of the gospel message. All right, so you're filled with God's love. You leave this morning, your heart's full, and these seven cups, let them represent people in your life. All right? And so you get home and you have an opportunity to show love to your spouse and you put a little of God's love and you pour that in there. And if you have children, you got to love them. And then Monday morning shows up. You got a little love left after Sunday, right, this afternoon. So you show up on Monday and you got someone, a coworker, right, that kind of struggles with you. You're like, oh, extra love opportunity. Got to pour that out. And then you get back home. You got a little bit of love for your spouse again and your kids again. And maybe the person across the street needs some help. And you're like, okay. And then, how are you getting like Wednesday or Thursday, and that same family needs some love and coworkers. And you're like, oh, I can't get any more love out. And what starts to happen inside? My tank is empty. It's time for you, spouse, to start pouring into me. I need you, kids, to do stuff for me. And I need you, coworkers. Stop expecting me to do everything else. And what happens? My tank is empty because I poured out. And my cup is empty, and I start expecting everybody else to love me because I deserve it because my tank is empty. Do you ever get that way? Do you ever inside start feeling resentful? The same action that was easy on Sunday is difficult on Friday. And you go, what makes this more difficult to love on Friday? Could it be that your tank is empty? I know it is for me. I can feel it inside. You know what? It's Sunday in 2 days. I need a message to share. I don't really feel like it, but I got to put together something. It doesn't always start on Friday, don't get me wrong. And so you go through the motions, right? You pretend like you're showing love, and everybody, happy day, how are you doing? Great. And inside, you're like, it stinks, I'm empty, I'm feeling miserable, I don't really want to do this, but I have to do this. Am I alone, or been there? And you look inside, and the thing is dry as a bone. And you have no more to give. So what's the answer? Well, just keep doing it. Keep doing it. I'm trying to pour nothing out of nothing. Gets nothing. And inside, your heart becomes more and more dried up. And your desire to love becomes less and less. So we come back, right, on Sunday. Lord, fill me up because I am so dry. I need your love and your grace. And he does, right? We get filled up again. But let me propose. There's two ways to get something out of this cup. One is what I just showed you. Starts with the love of Christ. It needs to fill me up. But the difference between flowing out of versus the second way to get something out of this cup. Same week, right? I can either pour out or I can allow God to keep pouring in. My spouse needs some love. My kids need some love. Monday morning, my coworkers need some love. Wednesday, my neighbor needs some love. Spouse needs some love again. Friend needs some love. Friday comes, my coworker still needs some love. Extra love, lots of love. What's happened to my cup? Because what? I'm being filled with the full measure of Christ so that his love will flow through me. And what's happening down here? I'm not going to make it run over, hopefully, but I'm filling others' cups with the love of Christ, making the next disciple because Jesus' love keeps pouring into me. will that happen with just one filling a week? You know, I love when I can go a week without, you know, I can fill my gas tank and on Saturday or Sunday I have to fill it up again. But usually, depending on where we're running this way and that, I need more than one fill-up a week. Spiritually, we need more than one fill-up a week. And I encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself in this, and perhaps we can journey together in this, is just, you know, open a Bible Gateway app and just subscribe to the verse a day. There's so many daily devotions through our Wisconsin Synod. You can, there's a, through whataboutjesus.com, you can subscribe to a daily devotion. Just a little something to pour into your love tank before you go out and meet the world every day, to allow God's love to continue to fill you. Because that's Paul's prayer. He says, I want the full measure of God to fill you, because he knows that the love of Christ starts when God's love fills me. And it shows when his love flows through me. We have this opportunity. I've said this, I don't know if I said it publicly, but sometimes I started my ministry in North Carolina where NASCAR was big, and I've never really gotten into NASCAR, but I said, you know, sometimes the church feels like a pit stop on the road of life. And you come in, you come swerving in on Sunday morning, get a little fill up of your tank, new set of tires, kind of refresh, get back out on the track, and you come back on Sunday because you need more gas and a new set of tires, et cetera, and we're kind of this pit stop. But out there in life, you need a little refreshment along the way. So taking it in personally with your kids, family time, couple time. We have a Bible study Wednesday night and Thursday night. I pray that in the fall we're planning to launch a couple small groups that you can plug into and find that refreshment with your Savior and with brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we need it to fill us up so that it flows through us. Not out of us so it becomes empty, but through us so we continue to stay full even as we fill us. How are we going to do this? I love how the Apostle Paul ends this section. May have to skip it if you're filling the blankers, Rachel, if you want to. So this love starts when Christ's love fills you, and secondly, love shows when Christ's love flows through you. How is this going to happen? Here's verse 20 and 21 of Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, because his love is flowing in us and filling us up, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love that scripture, because there are times in our marriage, our relationship, you're like, God, do I need to love that? Do I need to be the first to love, to let go of whatever we're frustrated about? He goes, yep. You show up with others at work and in other relationships. Lord, how am I supposed to love? This is an extra, extra, extra love opportunity. Where am I going to get the strength to love in a situation I just don't feel like loving? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine, to him who is at work within you, that's where the strength to love comes. And that comes when I'm being filled with that love, that gospel, that grace, that forgiveness that I so desperately need myself. And as Christ's love through his work on the cross is filling me, I am able to flow his love to others. So which one, perhaps, and maybe they are connected, but is it a filling issue or a flowing issue for you this morning? And if it's a flowing issue, there's probably a filling issue too. But let me just invite you, because the Apostle Paul, as he prays for the Ephesians, I pray for each one of us too, that you and your heart are filled to the full measure of God, so that God's love fills you, and so that in every opportunity, your tank doesn't go dry, but as Jesus' love fills you, in every opportunity, his love flows through you. This is what Jesus taught his disciples. This is what he teaches us today. And this too is what we get to teach the next disciple. The next disciple loves, filled with the love of Jesus. And that love of Jesus flowing through us. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love, that by your grace, is so rich in filling us, and sometimes we neglect just to pull up to the pump and allow you to your spirit to go to work. So forgive us for that, and renew in us a commitment, just a little bit each morning, each day, to be filled with your love and grace through your word of truth. And then, Lord, as we have opportunity, allow your love, as it has filled us, to flow through us. And Lord, we probably know in each of our hearts there's a situation that we're struggling to love, and we don't know how to do it, and we don't know what to say or how to show up. And so perhaps our simple prayer is, Lord, fill me with your love and help me understand how you have loved me, and then in some simple way, just reflect that love to others. Lord, thank you for your love and your grace and your gospel message that has filled us up this morning. I pray that for each of us, we leave today a little bit more full with your grace and your love than when we came, and that by your Spirit's strength, as that love fills us in just another way, another special way, or wherever you allow it to show up, that love would flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen.